of receiving from the second born, Brother Zephan Reiser, our pastor's second born son. But I want to admonish him just quickly this morning. Brother Zephan is a fine young man. He served the body of Christ for many years. He's loyal. I thank God for young people that are on fire for God. He's chosen not to be a carbon copy, but he's unique. And he has a fire and a zeal for God. He's not just for the youth. He's a wonderful youth pastor. My children sit under his ministry. But we thank God for young men that are on fire for God that desire to see their, and he's got faith. You know, some people, it takes many years to get faith into him. But thank God, it's like the Bible said, I perceive the faith that was in thy grandmother, which was also in thy mother, it's also in you. So thank God for a young man that's full of the Holy Ghost, full of God. He's got a word for us this morning. So let's give him a hand of welcome this morning as he comes to minister.
Thank you for a wonderful introduction there, Brother Don. For many of you who don't know me, I am like, I'm just kidding. Second born. I like that. That's good. Amen. If you guys have your Bibles, let's remain standing for this passage. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. I love this passage. Hallelujah. Verse 1. It's probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Chapter 12, verse 1 in Genesis. Get out of your country, from your family. This is the Lord speaking to Abram. And from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed. Lord, bless this word today. Let it touch your people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful message you have given me. Alrighty. So, many of you guys are here for first service. Tongue-tied for some reason. There we go. Alright. But it's going to be a message that you guys are going to hear again. That way, it, like, double sticks to you guys. It's like adhesive. You guys won't forget it for years to come. Alright. That first bit, where it talks about Abraham. He's calling Abraham. Very good. And I've always realized this, that when God calls Abraham, or Abram at that time, Abraham wasn't just, you know, a man out in the wilderness. He wasn't just doing nothing. He was serving the Lord. And that is the only reason the Lord was able to call him. The Lord is only able to call those who serve him. I made a point in first service that it's, if you're working like at a restaurant or a, like, Home Depot or Lowe's, and you have a blue shirt if you're working at Lowe's, and someone walks up to you, and you're just like, I don't work here. I don't know where anything's at. But if you have a Lowe's shirt on, and your boss says, hey, go restock this aisle, or go do that, then you're obligated to fulfill it. That man is able to tell you what to do. But if you don't work there, that man can't tell you what to do. If you're not working for the Lord, and you're not in servitude with the Lord, he can't be in tune with you. He can't call to you, and you can't answer him. So you have to be in servitude with the Lord. So Abram was in servitude with the Lord, and that's how he was able to hear and understand the voice of God. This wasn't the first time, I'm assuming, that God spoke to him, because it was a very clear instruction. It said, get out from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He had a land that Abram never had seen. He was going to show it to him, though. He was going to give him guidance. So I'm going to give you guys 5 points today. I want you to guys write them down. They're very good points. Point number one is serve the Lord. You can't go to a promised land. That's the topic we're talking about today, is the promised land. You can't go to a promised land if you're not serving the Lord. You can wander a wilderness. You can wander where you're at for years and years to come. But if you're not serving him, you can't go there. And it's a calling. It's a calling. That's what Abraham was called to do, to go to the land and to be blessed. It doesn't take much. And he just saw his, and the Lord says to Abram, I'm just calling you to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to give you everything you could ever need from generation to generation and generation to come. And he did. And he kept that promise. So point number one, serve the Lord. And I'm going to talk about that real quick. And serving the Lord, there's always benefits to serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord, It's like when you have a job that has good benefits. They take care of your health care. They cover insurance or dental or other areas. And it's like the same thing with God. When you serve him and you work for him, there's benefits. There's the benefits of having good and perfect health. There's the benefits of having financial blessing. When you work, you expect to get paid, right? Exactly. I mean, no one would be working if that's the case. We'd just be going out to work, you know, giving free labor, and then just coming back home and find out how am I going to make, you know, groceries meet, you know. But no, when you work for the Lord, he provides. He always gives you more than enough. And he feeds the birds of the air. I talked about this in tithe and offering. He feeds the birds of the air. He feeds the birds of the field. How much more so can he do for the children of the Most High? And it's so good. It's so good. And he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is a big promise. Oh, it's a big promise. And it's just saying, I'm going to bless you wherever you go. There's not going to be lack in your life. There's not going to be any area that you won't have more than enough, exceedingly more. And when you serve the Lord, he always gives you the best of the land. I mean, even Solomon in the Old Testament, as he had many servants, and he was one of the rich, he was the richest man in that area at the time being, and he was very, very wealthy. And a very wealthy lady, Queen Sheba, came to visit him, and he looked upon the servants, not even himself, but the servants before she had even seen Solomon. Just the servants, doing their business, dressed like royalty. These servants were taken care of. They looked like royalty. Servants. And as a servant of the Most High, he gives you the best blessings. If Solomon can take care of his servants in such a way, how much more so can God take care of the people who serve him in such a way? So when we serve the Lord, we don't expect just to, you know, barely make it paycheck to paycheck. No, we expect that the Lord's going to make more than enough. He's going to give us the wisdom and how to budget and how to excel in our lives and not to squander what we have, but to be wise with what we have. And when we serve the Lord, he gives much more than we could ever expect or even think. I mean, in Matthew 7, it says, if God, you know, if men, being as they are, can give good gifts to their children, wicked and evil man of the world, they can give good gifts to their children, how much more so can our Father, who is in heaven, who has wealth of the fields, he has more cattle, he has more wealth, his streets are paved with gold, his gates are built with pearls. How much more so can he give us more than enough? How much more so can he supply the needs of our life? Much more, I would say. And he gives us good and perfect gifts, not lousy and disappointing gifts. You know, I made this point in first service. When you wait for Christmas as a kid, you know, you have high expectations. You're like, oh, I really want this gift, whether it's a bike, a toy, something I'm really hoping for, right? And then, you know, your grandma gets you socks or something like that. And it's just like, man, I was hoping for so much more than this, you know. It's a good gift. I'll use it, yes. But, you know, I wanted so much more than just socks. And God's like looking at that. And he's like, yeah, that's a good gift. But I can give you so much more than just socks. Amen. He can give you good and perfect gifts. He can give you the blessings of the land. He gives you much more, much, much more. He gives you the bike you could have wanted, the toy you could have wanted. And that's how God operates. I mean, now that we're adults, we really don't want, like, bikes anymore. I mean, unless you're into Davidson and Harley. But, you know, he gives you more than what you need and what you could ever expect. He allows your groceries to be paid. He allows you to live in a debt-free home. He allows you to have a debt-free life. But you have to walk in covenant. You have to serve him. And as we serve him and as we give unto him and give of ourselves, he provides that. And it is such a blessing to live for the Lord. And being a servant and a child of God, because that's what we are. We're servants or we're children of God. It calls us to do one thing, and that's serve. As children, we have chores in the household, whether it's doing the laundry or weed eating the yard or mowing or whatever it may be, it may have been growing up. You have chores. You're supposed to wash dishes. You're supposed to take care of yourself. You're not expecting everybody else to do everything for you. Same thing in your job. You don't just sit back and do nothing. You get fired. You wouldn't have a job. But when you work and you serve the Lord, he raises you up. He raises you up higher than everybody else. So when we serve the Lord, serve him. Don't just sit back and expect things just to happen. God's, oh, Lord, I'm crying out because I need this. Oh, Lord, I'm crying out because I need that. Abram was serving. He wasn't just, you know, sitting around. And that's why God called him. He handpicked him. That's why he didn't pick anybody else in the land. He picked Abram, because Abram was serving. He wasn't just sitting around twiddling his thumbs, you know, doing nothing. He was serving. That's why he picked him. He chose him. And he knew that Abram would fulfill this call in his life because he said, I will go. I will be a servant of the Most High. And he went, and that's exactly what he did. And he was going to the land that the Lord was going to show him. I want to skip down to verse 10 real quick here. Same chapter, chapter 12. And it says in verse 10, now there was famine in the land. And it went down to Egypt, and he went down to Egypt for the famine to dwell. For the famine was severe in the land. Now Abram, keep this in mind. He went to Egypt, but he didn't stay in Egypt. The Lord guided him to Egypt, for there was famine in the land. He knew that Abram would be taken care of in Egypt. He was going to get abundance in Egypt. But the Lord says the promised land is not Egypt. It's very easy to get distracted because we have provision in an area of our life. Just because we're serving the Lord and he leads us to an area doesn't mean we're supposed to dwell there. Abram was never called to dwell in Egypt. I think it's a really good point because people can get set up in life and like, oh, you know, the Lord's taking care of me in this area. This must be where I'm supposed to be for the rest of my life. Don't hold yourself to that because the Lord can lead you many places for many different reasons. Don't ground yourself in your own ideology and in your own, oh, I'll be right here. This is my foundation. But the Lord leads you to foundations that even you may not expect. So be willing to uproot yourself again from where you're at and go to where he's calling you because the promised land, it's still forward. I want to go to chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. Now, as Abram was serving the Lord, he left Egypt. He had more than enough. He had an abundance. And he left Egypt. He left the land because his wealth was growing so rapidly. The Lord was multiplying everything that he had that they couldn't support him any longer. So he goes to the land of Canaan. This is the land he was called to dwell in. And in verse 6, it says, verse 5, Lot was also with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. So even though Lot was attached to Abram, he wasn't serving the Lord like Abram. He was attached to Abram. He was still experiencing the blessing. But in verse 6, now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the parasites more like, that dwelt in the land. So there was already people in this land that the Lord called Abram to. Now, Abram could have easily looked at this land and been like, Lord, this is not my land. You have people here. I can't take it from them. That's just rude. No, if the Lord called you to an area, it's for a reason. You may go to an area to plant a church that God may have called you. Maybe not everyone's called to plant a church or go minister or go preach or go be a light to someone. Well, Lord, they have lots of people being a light in their life. They have Christian friends. Oh, but Lord, there's already churches in this area. Oh, but Lord, and you can make all these excuses, all these reasons why I shouldn't do this. But are you called to serve the Lord? Then yes, then follow his voice. Because he says, hey, there's a reason these people are going to be removed because this is the land I am giving you. I don't care about what those people try to call their land. It's not their land. This is my land. Did I not create the heavens, the earth, and everything therein? So this is my land, and I'm giving it to you. So Lot and Abram, they couldn't stick together. And there had to be a separation from what was leeching on to Abram's faith, his walk with God. So he had to remove himself. He had to remove himself from his own family. There had to be a separation from something that says, you know, I got to detach from the doubt, the fear, the dependence on the fleshly things of this world because that's what Lot depended on. He didn't depend on God. He didn't depend on on faith and relying on the Most High. No, he relied on his uncle. He relied on God, on Abraham, that he's given me all these sheep. He's given me all these things. He's going to supply me. He's going to give me everything I need. Don't put your faith in man because man will always fail. But when your faith is in God, that promised land starts to get better and better. So Abram had to detach himself from Lot. And from there, God said, hey, I'm going to multiply you. So sometimes you have to detach people, friends, from your life. I'm trying to wrap up this point a little bit more quicker. Yeah, he had to detach himself from the things in his life that was holding him back. Because that's all Lot did. He was stopping Abram's faith. He was keeping him bound and captive to these things. And even in that, it may not be people, but sometimes it can be yourself that holds you captive, whether it's your own doubt, your own guilt or fear. I was ministering to my coworker yesterday, and it was such a powerful moment because he's talking about the bondage that he kept himself in. Not that all these people, because he had people in his life trying to encourage him, but he had kept this stuff in himself, that his own guilt and his own fear was hindering him from entering a church door. That was his first step to walk towards his promised land. And I got to minister to him for about an hour to an hour and a half. And I just poured into him. I talked about my sermon. I talked about these things. And it was such a wonderful God moment. And the Holy Spirit was all over it. By the end of it, his eyes were filled with tears. And I was just, you could tell the presence of God was all there. And I was just, it was such a wonderful moment and great thing to experience. But then I began to tell him about his promised land. It's here. It's here. Don't let your year wind up like every other year. Like it just, things go by and it looks like it's a habit and, you know, things aren't going to change, but make this year stand out. Make this year better than any year than any year you've had prior to. Now, you may have had great years in 2024, 2023, but it gets better when you serve the Lord. The longer you dwell in the presence of the Lord, the better and greater it gets. Skipping down to verse 14 chapter 13. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, had to be a separation, lift your eyes and now look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants, how long? Forever. He's giving him the promised land. He says, look, I'm giving you the promised land. Look north, east, west, south, as far as your eyes can see. I'm giving you this land for your children and your children's children and your children's children and so on and so on. Now I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar to the Lord. In this, the Lord spoke to Abram. He had to serve. Abram had to serve. And the second point, I'll touch on it real quick, is obedience. You have to obey the Lord. First point, you have to serve the Lord. Second point, you have to be obedient to the Lord. If you're not obedient and he calls you, Abram would have never left his hometown. He would have never left his dad's house. He would have stayed there. He could have been okay for the rest of his life. Or he could have stayed in Egypt and he could have been okay for the rest of his life. But no, that's not what God called him to do. He said, I am leading you to the land I will show you. Did he show him the land of Egypt? No, that was just a stopping point. You don't stay in Egypt. Keep that in mind. You don't stay in Egypt. The Lord called you to a promised land. Your promised land isn't one of the stops along the way. It's a set destination. Now, when you're running out of gas and you're trying to go from, let's just say, East Coast to West Coast, you have to make stops to fill up your gas tank. You have to make stops along the way. Are you just going to stop in some random town? Yep, I made it. This is my destination. I was supposed to get all the way to the West Coast, but you know, we're gonna stay right here. No, because you haven't completed your mission. You haven't arrived at your destination. Abram had to be obedient. And as the Lord was leading him, that obedience began to transpire into something that led to greater and greater and greater and greater and multiplication over his livestock and his servants and everything that Abram touched. Was multiplied, was grown into something that he would have never expected. And it talks point after point about how God blessed him and how God took care of him and brought him to more and more. And that he was dwelling in the land that the Lord was giving him. Remember that. He was dwelling in the land that was given to him. And if Abraham went out of that land, that blessing, that provision could have easily left. It's oddly specific, that country, Egypt. What's wrong with Egypt? Why wasn't Abram supposed to stay there? You think about it later, though. The Israelites got stuck in Egypt. What happened? Captivity. Egypt is the land of captivity. You can't stay there because you become captive to where the enemy wants to hold you. He wants to hold you in that spot. But when you serve and obey the Lord, he wants to lead you to something greater. He wants you to lead to his promises. But that Egypt, it's that place of captivity. It's that place of limitation to where you're not allowed to go past us. You have to stay beneath us. You have to serve us now. You have to be captivated by the things of this world. But no, the Lord says, I have something much, 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 much greater. I've called you to a land that you are the rulers and you are the greatest. not to where a land to where you're only allowed to be limited to the pharaohs and the men and women of this world. I've called you to greater, your promised land. It isn't here yet. And notice, soon as Abram continued from Egypt and cut Lot off his life, immediately, just like that, when you have that immediate obedience, then God has immediate answers. He doesn't wait around. When you wait around, God has to wait around. He's just waiting on us. You know, if Abram would have kept Lot in his life, he would have been waiting for that promised land a lot longer. You know, they would have suffered. You know, their herdsmen were already bickering. They would have lost everything. But here's the thing. When he cut that off and that separation, it didn't depend on man, didn't depend on family, didn't depend on other things, but says, God is my source. Immediately, God takes him to a hill. This is the land I'm giving to you. So when you make that sever, you cut those things off and you don't depend on these earthly, on the things of this world, then God immediately leads you somewhere and says, this is the land I'm showing you. This is the land I want you to stay in. This is where I'm calling you to go. So when you have immediate obedience, Abraham got to the promised land a lot quicker than what the Israelites did. The Israelites didn't have that immediate obedience. But when that immediate obedience hits, there's immediate answers. And it's just like Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. says. I can't remember who he got it from, but I know he got it from someone else. But delayed obedience is still disobedience. And when there's that delayed obedience, you're just being disobedient to God. Abraham didn't want that. He's like, I can't be disobedient to God. If he's led me through famine, through fire, through all these things, then how can I not trust him? I've left the land I was comfortable in. I've left the land that was I was great in. But now he's leading me to greater. How can I distrust that? So he said in his mind, I'm cutting these things off. I trust in the Lord. And God showed him where his descendants were going to dwell for years and years to come. And I want to skip over to chapter 28 in Genesis. Abram's life began to be fulfilled. No, not 28, excuse me, 26. Abram's life began to be fulfilled at that point, and he dwelt in the land that was given to him. Now, there still was a little snafu. He still had to have a kid. He still had to have Isaac, which was to come, and he had to go through his own little trial and error experience to get to a point to where he was learning to trust on the Lord more and more. But we're not going into that very much today. And he had Isaac, and Isaac had to learn something now. He had to learn to trust in God like Abraham trusted in God. He had to learn to have that immediate obedience to the voice of the Lord. And so in chapter 26, verse 1, again, there was famine in the land. Seems like there's a lot of famine in this land, right? But guess what? When there's famine in a land and there's lack everywhere else, God's like, hey, guess what? I have provision. I have more than enough. And this, the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac, went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared and said, do not go down to Egypt. Again, don't go down to Egypt. Here's that point. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I tell you. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you for all your descendants. And I will give these lands and perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars in the heaven. And I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And these are the next three points altogether. Your first point was serve the Lord. Second point, obey God's voice. And it's all written in the, except the serving one. The other ones are all written right here. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and laws. So point number three, keep his commands. You got to keep his commands. Or no, sorry. That was point number four. Point number three was keep his charge. Sorry. Keep his charge, because a charge said, you know, Stephen, you know, I'm charging you with this. Go pick up groceries for everybody in here for the next week. Now, that's a lot, right? No, but if I give you the money to do it, it's going to happen, right? I'm giving you a mission. I'm charging you with something, and I expect it to be fulfilled by Wednesday. Now, that's your mission. I'm charging you with that. Can you make it happen? Exactly. So that was the charge. When God gave Abraham a charge, he fulfilled it. He didn't wait around and like, oh, well, you know, can you expand that deadline? How about next Wednesday? I got a real busy schedule. No, he made it happen. He made it work. There may have been inconveniences along the way, but he was like, no, I'm making this happen. If God's charging me with something, I'm going to make it happen. And so when there's a mission in your life that God's given you, he's given every single person a mission, a place to go, an assignment to fulfill. You can't just wait around and expect that assignment to be fulfilled by someone else. If everyone in a schoolroom has a test, you know, and the legacy classes were taken with Pastor Miranda, you know, we get tests and stuff like that. We're expected to fill those out, to do them, right? And we get tested on it. Now, if I hand my test off to Miss Lisa and expect her to do it for me, am I learning anything? Am I supposed to get anything out of that? No. Was she charged with her own test? Yes. I'm not going to make her do my test and her test and Auntie Mara's test and Angela's test. And then she's doing everybody's assignments. And that's not fair. She's got her own work. She's got her own job. She's got her own life. So when God gives you an assignment, it's specifically set and carved out for you. It's set in stone that God has a perfect assignment because he knows you can reach people that no one else can reach. You can go places that no one else can go. That your job I'm giving to you, Abraham, I couldn't have given it to anybody else in the land because they wouldn't have kept it. They wouldn't have had the Isaac to fulfill this assignment. And you are given a divine mission. And the Lord charges you with it. And he says, I'm giving you these things. And I desire for you to seek this out and give it your all. And don't stop until you feel like you're getting it deeper and deeper and deeper. And yes, there may be problems that arise. The grocery store may be out of tomatoes, Stephen. I told everybody they need tomatoes. Where are you going to go? Not all these. Not Aldi's. He's going to get tomatoes one way or another, though. But it may not be from Aldi's. Okay. But he's got it set in his heart, though. He's going to complete the charge I gave to him no matter what. He may go to, I was going to say Safeway. That's a Maui thing. He was going to go to, what's the one right up to the store? Food line. Price card. What? Something. He's going to go somewhere, make sure he's going to get those tomatoes, though. He's going to make sure this mission is fulfilled. So there may be hiccups, there may be problems, there may be things that, oh, you know, we can't make this happen. I'm just not going to get everybody's groceries now, or everyone's going to get half their groceries. No, he's going to find a way to make it happen. So when there's something that's a bump in the road, slow down or go around the bump. Figure something out. Don't just, you know, hold up traffic, everything behind you because you haven't figured it out. The Lord made a way. The Lord is going to make it happen. So if he gives you an assignment, he expects you to fulfill it. And yes, there may be things, there may be giants, there may be people on the land now, but he's saying, I'm going to remove those things that are your obstacles so that you can make your assignment complete. Now, point number four, keep his commands. God told Abraham specifically what to do in every single area of his life. In every area that Abraham obeyed in, he commanded Abram, go from your country. Abram went from his country. Provision. Leave Egypt. He left Egypt. More provision. Stay in this land. More provision. Every time there was a command and every time Abraham listened to this command, there was always blessing. There was always the ability to complete this command. And again, I made this point. It's like when you're playing sports and you're moving forward, you have balance. You have that structure set afford you that if someone wants to meet you head on, you can see it coming. You can hit it onward. But if you're to the side, you're off balance. Or if you're trying to walk sideways, you're off balance. Like if I'm called to go straight to that wall and I walk forward, that's a normal thing to do. But if I walk sideways, it's a weird thing to do. And you look weird and it's a lot easier to trip and you're probably going to fall. You get tangled over your feet. And if I walk backwards, I can't see anything. I'll probably hit the pulpit, knock into the camera, and next thing you know, I'm falling over chairs. You can't do those. You can't walk sideways. You can't walk backwards. You walk forward because that's the way you trust in God. So when you walk forward and you have that structure in your life, he's given you the tools and the ability to move forward because when you walk with his commands, it's that guidance. It's like that perfect guidelines. You have those lanes in the road. That's exactly what his commands are. It's like, hey, I've paved the road. I've made it visible for you to drive on. All you got to do is turn on your headlights. Because if you do it in the dark, you're gonna go over those lines. So just open your eyes, look at the commands, and follow through, and you'll be driving nice and clear. Now, I don't know about the roads now, but they're a little icy. You gotta keep his commands. Then point number five, you gotta keep his statutes and his laws. The laws that the Lord sets before you, they're there for a reason. They're there to keep you safe. They're not there to harm you and make you feel like you have to carry on all this baggage. And, like, that's what holds a lot of people up. Oh, I don't want to go to church. There's way too many rules. There's way too many laws. Well, they're not wrong. There's about 613 laws in the Old Testament. It's a lot of laws. Not all of them are like, don't do this, don't do that. A lot of them are like common sense things like, you know, they didn't have blenders back then, but don't stick your hand in a blender. Or don't do this, you know, don't do that. It's just like, you know, don't, you know, have a little bit of common sense. The Israelites lacked a lot of common sense, you know, hence the 40-plus years of walking in the wilderness. But, you know, it is what it is. He gives you those reasons and those statutes for a reason. They're there to keep you safe, to guide you, to make sure you're not doing stuff wrong. We have laws in the U.S. Why? So we don't break them. So we don't go to jail. So we don't, you know, end up in trouble. There's a speed limit for a reason. You don't go over the speed limit. No one goes over the speed limit, right? Amen. There we go. All law-abiding citizens. You stick to the speed limit. You don't go out killing or stealing or doing all these things because guess what? There's a punishment for that. When you don't follow God's laws and his statutes, there's punishments outside of that waiting for you, waiting for you to slip up. It's like that cop on the interstate. He's hiding there. He's waiting for you. And if you go 73, 75, Brian can tell you. They're waiting. They're ready. As soon as you snap up that, they're boop, lights on. There's punishment for it. There's a fine. There's a penalty to pay for it. But hey, you know, when you stick to the lines that God set for you, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about all the things outside of the law because you're in it. And again, just like I talked about, when you're in these things and you're in God's laws and you're following these 5 points, you're serving him, obeying him, you're keeping his charge, his missions, his commands, his statute and laws, the blessing flows continually and it multiplies. And it's just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob. That's why these three guys are mentioned. Joseph's not mentioned. Why? He went to Egypt. That point's a little bit later, but he provided. When you dwell in the promised land, provision is always there. And there's never lack. Your livestock are multiplied. Your abundance, your wealth, everything that Abram and Isaac and Jacob had multiplied to where the people of the nations, Egypt couldn't hold Abraham. Abimelech, we'll get to Abimelech here in a second, couldn't hold Isaac. No one could hold these men because their men, these men were mightier than kingdoms. Kingdoms. I'm not talking like some little shack in the mud. No, castles, whole places where they make you pay taxes and everything. Like, these are real places. It's not some scratch in the wall. No, men, single men and their families were greater than kingdoms. God has a provision in the promised land awaiting for us. But it takes that immediate obedience. It takes keeping his charge. It takes serving him and all these things to be able to get there. And when Abraham had that mentality of following these steps in his life that God pointed out, I mean, it's right there, point blank, right there in verse 5. Chapter 26, verse 5, point blank. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, and my laws, his descendants multiplied as much as the stars of the heaven, the sands on the seashore. He was never poor. Never. And when you keep those things, God never makes you poor. Not in your mind, not in your wealth, not in your house, not in your family, not in any area of your life. When you follow in that, there's the provision that meets you on all sides. It's just like Job. He had provision on all sides. You know, there was a hedge of protection around him. Health was able. His health was in perfect condition. His livestock, his children were even beginning to experience it. But God has that for you. When you're in his promised land and the land he calls you to be, the places, the people he's called you to go to, there's that provision, that way maker. That's why we sing that song. He's the way maker. He provides that path. He made the path perfectly clear for the Israelites the whole way, all the way to Canaan, all the way from Egypt. He took a sea, split it wide open just so they could walk through it on dry land. So they don't even have to soil their little toesies. No, he made a perfect path for them. He provided water from a rock. Last time I checked science, rocks don't produce water. It falls out of the sky. And he made bread fall from heaven. I don't know what he's cooking up there, but he made bread fall from heaven. He made birds. They're supposed to fly. They just drop at their feet. Provision on all sides. But what the Israelites didn't understand on their way to Canaan, they didn't have that obedience. They didn't have that servitude mindset. They weren't even serving God. That's why they wanted to turn to other idols. They wanted to commit adultery. They wanted to have all these laws broken, and that's why they had to have all these things established in their life, because they couldn't get five simple points. They couldn't get 5 points of their life set, so God had to create 613 laws for them just to stay right, not to do dumb, stupid things. As a human being, you're not supposed to do dumb, stupid things. Excuse my words, but you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to jump off a skyscraper. That's not smart. You're not supposed to just do things that you shouldn't. No, God gives you common sense for a reason. The Israelites were lacking a lot of that, but if you follow these 5 points, then you don't have to worry about that, because that wisdom gets to get poured into. It's just like Solomon. It's why his servants were so wealthy, because that wisdom was inside of him, in obedience, and he was keeping the charge, and he was serving the Lord. Only when he started to veer from that was his kingdom beginning to crumble. And when you start veering away from the 5 points here, the things that God clearly laid out, then you start wandering to Egypt. You begin to wander outside of God's promised land, and it's a lot harder to get back in once you leave. Jericho builds a wall. There's obstacles. There's seas to split. There's a lack of provision. But when you trust in God completely, he makes that way easy, just like he did for Abraham, just like he did for Isaac. Isaac never had to leave. He was told specifically by God, do not go to Egypt. And he didn't. He stayed in the land that was given to him. He stayed in the land that the Lord appointed for him to have. And he didn't go to Egypt. Because of that, God provided for him. And continuing off that, I want to say real quick, everything Abraham, everything Isaac, everything Jacob touched. I mean, we can even go into Jacob. My goodness. The boy left his home. He went to his uncle's house to dwell in that land. He came back with more wealth. He came back to the promised land again, because that's where God called him to be, with more wealth, with more provision. Just like those three men, they were obedient. They were faithful. They served. They kept the charge that was given to them. They did these things. And because of that, that's why their names are written. The Father, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham. That's why those men are mentioned, because they did these five things. Now, everyone continually, that's why they weren't mentioned as much. That's why the 12 tribes of Judah, not the God of Joseph or the God of Judah. No, they were never mentioned like that, because they didn't maintain those 5 points. But these three men did. We could go way back. We could go all into Jacob, and his life was such a blessing. Oh, my goodness. Was he a deceiver at first? Yes. But he got his priorities straight, and things began to get him set up in life, and God provided every single thing. Again and again and again. And there's that instant obedience. And when there's that instant obedience, there's an instant answer. You ask God questions, he answers instantly as soon as you obey him. And there's that. Everything Isaac touched was blessed. And everything you guys touch will be blessed. Everything this house that is touched, your families, your children, your children's children, everything, everyone coming with you to the promised land, everything you guys touch will be blessed. And you guys may be following these 5 points, but let's get other people to follow these 5 points with us. Let's bring the people that want to come with us. Now, I want to read this point here in same chapter, 26, but I want to go to verse 28. Because Isaac set himself up with somebody from the land. And it wasn't someone that would later leave the land. That was later evacuated, that the Lord took away. But for that time being, it was there. In verse 28, they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." Obviously. The Lord is with them. They're greater than these guys. They just walked into a land. You know, a land that's, you know, looks bare, not provided for. They just walked in and had more than all these other guys. They're barely making it in life. And prior to this, Isaac had dug like 4 wells in other areas. In a land that's not supposed to have water, he just dug a hole in the ground. Water springs up. Again, provision, supernatural provision. Obedience equals provision. And he did it again and again and again. And they got jealous and they kept stopping up Isaac's wells. And finally they realized, no matter where this guy goes in our land, he's just going to dig another random hole in the ground. And then there's going to be provision. So it doesn't really matter what we do. So let's just come into covenant with this. Let's just come into agreement with this and be on this man's side. Because when people see that God's provision rests on your life and you're in his promised land, they want to align yourself. They want to align themselves with that. They want to be part of it, because who doesn't want to be part of a blessed nature? Who doesn't want to be part of the millions of dollars that someone may have? Who doesn't want to be part of God's overwhelming blessing? And he gives you the wisdom to manage it and the wisdom to what's that word? Budget it. And he gives you the ability to do all these things. He gave Abraham. I mean, Abraham didn't squander. Isaac didn't squander. Jacob didn't squander their wealth. They saved it. They were wise with it. And God gives you the ability to manage it. And because of this, that's why they were so wealthy. And kings came to them. And they're like, King Abimelech came to Isaac. And he said, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to be on your side, because, you know, these guys, they keep trying to stop you, but they can't stop you, you know? So they want to be a part of it. And they said, make a covenant with us so that you will do us no harm. I'm a king. Why do I have to worry about you doing me harm? Because Isaac's mightier than him. They see that God is more powerful than the simple things that they serve. The world, the jobs that they had in their life amounted to nothing. But when Isaac was aligned with God, they look at that and like, wow, that's power. That's real stuff. I want to be in alignment with that. And they desire to be in that same alignment. And they said, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace, you are now blessed. You are now the blessed of the Lord. The blessed of the Lord. Who wants to be the blessed of the Lord? Amen. That's right, Minister Liao. Both hands up right there. We want to be the blessed of the Lord. We don't want to be in the spot to where we're just, you know, I was going to say the get or buys of the Lord, but, you know, there's none of that. We're not called to just get by. We're not just called to scrape from the barrel. God has a whole barrel for us, you know. He doesn't want you to ration your living. He doesn't want you to live paycheck to paycheck. He says, I have a promised land for you. It has milk and honey and everything good, okay? So Isaac, everything he's touching in the land is blessed. And like, he has the camels. He has everything. Maybe you guys don't want camels. That's understandable. But maybe you want a car, all right? But God has all these things for you. He's called you to be in a land to give you more than enough. And it may not be a donkey or a camel, but it may be something a little bit nicer. But the principles are the same. The principles are the exact same thing. And when you obey the Lord and when you follow in these ways, then the Lord leads you to have the best of the best. The best truck, the best house, the best land. And I'm not talking like some little piece of land, like half an acre. No, he's called to give you acreage, 20 acres, 30 acres, 40 acres. He knows the desires of your heart. Abraham didn't want to live the rest of his life in his father's house. He knew the desires of Abraham's heart. And he said, I have more for you. Want to come? The answer to that is yes. That's the answer we got to give God. He says, hey, Justin, want to come? What do you say? Yeah. Exactly. So when we have that mindset of yes, and we have that, yes, Lord, I will serve. Yes, or less, Lord, sign me up. I want to follow. I want to go. I want to hear your voice. I want to obey it. I want to keep your charge, keep your commandments, keep your statutes and laws. Thing after thing begins to fall into place. That path is perfectly made and perfectly paved for you. And there's that overwhelming blessing. And there's that never lack. And again, people will look at you and say, certainly the Lord is with you. Certainly the provision of your life is more than enough. And that's how you get people saved. It really is. Yeah, you can have heart-to-heart moments with people. But when people see you different, if Abraham would have been a pauper in a king's kingdom, no one would have paid him a second look. Same thing with Isaac, same thing with Jacob. But because they were so mighty and so different, people wanted to attach themselves to that. So you're not supposed to be in a poor place. You're not supposed to be in a place of just getting by. So the Lord says, I have more for you. Listen, I'm leading you. I want to lead you. And that's where that yes comes into play. Be a yes man, be a yes woman to where God says do something. It's yes. Same thing when your parents tell you to clean your room. It's not like, oh, I'll get to it. That's a great way to get in trouble. For me, you know, never mind. I'm not going to say that. All right. So it's just like the things of the Lord, he's the same way. He says, fix some things in your life. Oh, Lord, I'll get to it when I have a chance. I got work today. I got this today. No, fix it. If your mom came into your room and it was a wreck and she said, fix your room, and she comes back out 3 hours later and you just stuffed everything into a closet or just left it on the floor, you're in for a rude awakening, my friend. It's the hammer is coming. Trust me. But no, there's that thing, and it's just like God's like, hey, and he's a lot more graceful. He's a lot more forgiving, and he's like, I'm just trying to help. Why don't you want this? And it's just like people, they're not willing to fix it. Not no one in this room or online. I'm just saying people out there in the world. But when God calls something out in your heart, look at it. Don't just look at it. Okay, look at it. Find out what's the root of it. Dig into the heart of yourself. Reflect. I make it a habit. Try to do it daily. I some days I miss it, but I try to do it daily. Lord, how can I reflect on myself? Have a conversation with somebody. How does that conversation reflect on me and them? What could have I have said better? How could have I have acted better? Even in conversations, I still do that. I'm like, I say something, and then the Holy Spirit's like, bam, hits me. And I'm like, ugh, shouldn't have said that, right? And it's like, he'll do that to you. Don't ignore the convictions of the Holy Spirit. Ever. Ever. And it... God calls you to have provision. In a time of famine. It said there was famine in the time of Abraham. It said there was famine in the time of Isaac. And guess what? There was famine in the time of Jacob. Guess what his sons did? They went to Egypt. Now God had set up a plan, yes, even though they went to Egypt. But they weren't called to stay in Egypt. They weren't supposed to stay in Egypt. God provided for a famine once and twice. Can he not do it three times? Can he not do it four times? Can he not do it more than enough? Can he not make that overwhelming a blessing happen again, generation after generation? Of course he can. He's God. But it's that reliability on him. It's that faith in saying, let's not get in my emotions. Let's trust in God. Because Jacob was in a time frame and at a point of life, you know, he was weeping over the son of his son Joseph. And, you know, he was attached to his son Benjamin. He wasn't relying fully on God. He was attached to people more than God. And that's when God set something up with Joseph. And then they moved to Egypt and they stayed there. And that's where their troubles began to arise. They stayed in Egypt. They left the promised land. So when you get to your promised land, if you're not in it right now, stay there. Because day after day, week after week, year after year, it's supposed to get better and better. It's supposed to look better and better. You're supposed to live day after day, year after year, in the better, in the goodness of God. It overwhelms you. It follows you, just how we sang in praise and worship. The goodness of God is following you. And when you're in that promised land, it's just thing after thing after thing. Area in your life, money, finances, spiritual, mental, physical, never lack, ever. Not a day, not a moment. You can't leave the promised land. Leaving the promised land was the exact instruction that was forbidden by God to Abraham, to Isaac. He told them, don't leave this land. Don't go to Egypt. Don't go to other lands, because if you go to other lands, that means you're not relying on me. You're relying on other things. So we can't lose that blessing. We can't leave the promised land. And this year, we're going to walk in the promised land. Fairmont, West Virginia, Whitehall, West Virginia. Every house we have, every place we go is our promised land. There may be people in it that aren't on the side of the Lord. But guess what? They're either getting on board like Abimelech or they're jumping ship. Because they're not called to be in the land that we are supposed to be in. They're not supposed to take over the land that is gifted to us, given to us for a supernatural purpose. The Lord called us to an area. The Lord may call you to a separate area. The Lord may call you to Monongah. He may call you to Morgantown. He may call you somewhere else. And if he's given you that land, he gives you every ability to take it over, to give you the ground, to give you the houses, the hotels, every bit of wealth to maintain and have that supernatural provision in your life. Don't limit God. Don't put him in a box, because the minute you put him in a box, he has to stay there. That's why you have an open roof concept in your house. You make sure everything's like, you know, you can see the skies. It's a joke. Because you will get wet. Lots of rain. Amen. But the rain of the Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to a close in this. I want to go to Exodus real quick. Exodus chapter 1. And again, immediate obedience equals immediate results with God. Abraham made it very quickly to the promised land because he was obedient, because he followed the Lord. And because of that, it was like 4 or 5 chapters, he's there. The Israelites were fighting to stay and get in the promised land for the rest of the 4 other books, the four next books of the Old Testament and the Torah. They're fighting to stay in the promised land, to get there. They have to go through all these laws and lineages and all these things just to finally stay in the promised land. Abraham, it was so simple because he followed these. So you have to follow those points. You have to stay where the Lord has called you. Now, Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. When you stay in Egypt, this is what happens. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field, and all the service in which they made serve was with rigor. Rigor is not a light word. Rigor is a word that's meaning you're toiling, you're sweating, you're giving it everything you've got, and it's you're just pouring yourself out to where it feels like you have nothing left. God doesn't want you to be exhausted at the end of every day to where you're just like, oh, you know, he's called to give you supernatural strength. He's called to give you more than enough. He doesn't want you wasting all that time like the Israelites did for no results. They didn't stay in the land of Egypt. They didn't get anything from the land of Egypt till they left it. All that they worked for amounted to nothing for them. All that time and effort, and that just shows you, you can spin those tires on an icy track again and again for hours and hours. You're just going to have bald tires. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to tear your car up. You're going to tear everything up in your life. But you have to have the traction the Lord has given. When you wrap your tires with those chains, they start turning. God gives you the tools and the equipment to get out of the land of Egypt and to get grip and traction in this world to where we maintain that momentum forward. And again, like that, I made that point. You're going forward. You're not going back. You're not going side. You're going forward. We're going to the promised land this year. We're following these points to walk in the land the Lord has given us. Let's not get distracted by Egypt. It may look nice and comfy for a little bit, but that's a place of bondage and captivity. Let's not stay in that bondage and captivity. Let's lead the bondages and the captives free. Let's take them out of the place. And if they want to stay there, that's their choice. Many of the Israelites, we wish we were back in Egypt. Then go. Don't hold on to those people. If those people want to go back to bondage and captivity, it's sad to say, but sometimes you have to separate. Because that's just dragging you from your promised land. You're trying to lead everybody else that wants to come. They'll make their way. Trust and pray for that person, yes, but they'll make their way on their own time when they realize that captivity, bondage, it's not worth it. They're missing out on a lot when they see everyone parting up in the promised land. Amen? You guys want to go ahead and stand to your feet? It's easy to get caught up. I mean, it's just exactly what happened with Joseph and his brothers and his descendants. They got caught up in that role of life, you know, tending sheep and doing what they were doing and living that lifestyle. And their children did that, and their children's children did that. And from a result of that compromise and them being okay with where they were at, caused a result that had horrible results for generations to come. But don't get stuck. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. You can wander and wander and wander and never arrive in the promised land because you're not trusting, you're not relying, you're not having that mindset. And it may even be to the point where you're not even serving God. But when you make him that point and you make him that first priority, that's the first step to everything. The Israelites had to realize they had to serve God. They had to get out of the boat of themselves and had to jump into the boat with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. So it's a mindset of saying, I'm not willing to take the next 40, the next 20, the next 10, next 5 seconds of my life without fully submitting myself with you. And it's such a significant word, submission. Submitting, it means putting yourself down to the point where it's just like, I put myself low so that God can be elevated. And it takes a lot of denouncing of pride to do something like that. It takes a lot of just taking things inside of you and like, I am not as important as I once thought I did. But it's just like saying that to God, releasing those things. And the Israelites had to let go of themselves so they could embrace for what God had for them. And it may not be that for some people here. It may not, but there's always one area, maybe two areas, something that could be hidden within your heart that could be keeping you captive from getting to that promised land. And you have to detach yourself from it. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's hurt or guilt or pride. Whatever it may be, you know it. You may not even know it. You may need to search it out. You may take time and just really dig into the Word and just like, Lord, reveal these things to me so that I can find it. What's holding me up? What's keeping me from that promised land? But the first step is you got to serve the Lord. You got to be in servitude with the Lord. You have to be a child of God. Because if you're not a child of God, you're not able to walk that path. Abraham could have never gone that path if he wasn't a child of God, if he wasn't serving the Lord. Same thing with Isaac and Jacob. If they weren't serving him, they would have never stayed in the promised land. So the step, like I said in the beginning, you got to serve the Lord. I want everyone to bow their heads. And I want you to look within yourselves. If there's anything you need to get right with God, maybe you once served God and you strayed away. Maybe you've never have served God. Maybe you've served God multiple times and you fell back, but you just don't have the strength to prevail. The Lord will give you strength. You got to submit those areas in your life. You got to embrace what He has for you because it's a beautiful land. That's what He said to Abraham. He said, look up to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Look at the land I have for you. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it prosperous? And Abraham had to see with faith. Because it may have looked like a barren land at that time, but when he looked at it with faith, he saw nothing but flowers. He saw nothing but grass. He saw nothing but trees and water and provision that surrounded him. When you look with faith and you take that step and say, Lord, I'll serve. I'll go to the land you've called me to. There's that provision. There it comes. So if there's anyone that wants to get their heart right with the Lord or lay something down for him, and say, Lord, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to fully commit to you. I want you to raise your hand. And if you're online, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. I want there to be that submission in your heart and saying, Lord, I'm ready. I need you because I'm stuck in Egypt. I'm stuck in captivity. I want that promised land. I want you guys to repeat this prayer after me. And say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm ready to serve. I lay myself down so that you can pick me back up, so that you can lead me to the land that you have shown me. Lord, I surrender. Take away the sin. Take away the guilt. Break free the bondage. And use me for your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you said that prayer online, connect with us. Send a message to us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Get on our website at King's Chapel, KingKCWestVirginia.com. Okay. KingsChapelWestVirginia.com. But connect with us. Get in church. Plug in because you have to walk. You have to be in His presence to receive fully and understand everything He has for you. And yes, you can do it at home, but it's so much better with a body, with people here to support you.